Father, just as Simeon and Anna noticed your presence in the temple, Lord, may we notice your presence amongst us today. And may we receive you more deeply and more fully into our hearts and our lives, that we may bear witness to you, to the nations. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please do have a seat. Good morning, everybody. A couple of weeks ago, I was looking for something that I couldn't find. And as I was looking, I rediscovered something I didn't even know I still had, which is the order of service for my school's Founders Day, which is the, what's the date? 2 p.m. on Friday, the 3rd of October, 1980. I'd have been about 13, I think, at the time. And it includes the school song, which is all about the founder of the school, Samuel Brunce. On Founders Day each year, the whole school would gather in our assembly hall, which had a sprung wooden floor. So it would be something like 1,600 secondary school children, plus teachers, all gathered. And we would sing the Founders Day song. And my favourite bit, I guess all of our favourite bit of this song, was that we would sing, as part of the verse, we would sing the first line, and then we would all stamp our feet. So it used to go something like this. Old Samuel Brunce was a yeoman staunch in the days of good Queen Anne. In fact, I think we should all try that. Stand up. Let's try the first line of my school song, okay? Are you ready? I'll just repeat it for you. Old Samuel Brunce,
Samuel Brunce
was a yeoman staunch,
in
the days of good Queen Anne. Right, we'll try to get... Oh, well done, yes. Let's try it again with a stop. Okay, old Samuel Brunce was a yeoman staunch in the days of good Queen Anne. Brilliant, you can sit down now. Now, if you can imagine 1,600 secondary school children and their teachers all doing that, it felt like the hall was going to fall down and the floor would resonate. It was a thunderous noise. Some of the words in the song, they talk about Samuel Brunce and something about his character and his life and the way that he endowed the school. One of the verses says this: my lands I leave to my good trustees to feed the poor and to bring them ease. To school young lads, sorry ladies, to school young lads and give them aid and apprentice them in a useful trade. And few you'll find with a soul more kind than stout old Samuel Brunce. Today I'm going to focus on our reading from Hebrews. If my iPad will let me. Our passage from Hebrews, where the author talks about Jesus being the pioneer of our salvation. And it's this idea of being a pioneer that I wanted to try and explore for a few moments now. In choosing to leave his wealth for the benefit of the poor of Mansfield in Nottinghamshire, resulting in the founding of the Brunce School, we could say that Samuel Brunce was in his way a pioneer. He was a pioneer of generosity and kindness, a pioneer of education in order that young lads, and these days young ladies too, may learn a useful trade and be able to stand on their own two feet and no longer live in poverty. In a very different way, in October, we sent out our curate, Sarah Watson, to a new post in another part of Derby, a deprived part of Derby, to be a pioneer. To pioneer something new to a deprived part of the city, where traditional inherited church has all but died out. And so therefore a new expression of Christian community, Christian faith, Christian living, Christian church is needed. As you know, I'm currently involved in developing relationships and a network with people who are involved in fostering and adoption. So I'm finding myself in the position of pioneering something new in terms of what Christian community might look like in that context. And so the diocese, noticing that I was doing this, decided that I needed training to do this. So along with a few other kind of long in the tooth old fuddy-duddy vicars, I've been put on this course where we're learning about going from inherited church, traditional church, to fresh expressions of church, new church, pioneering new ways of being church and proclaiming the gospel. So you can see perhaps why the word pioneer stood out to me when I was reading the scriptures in preparation for today's sermon. The writer to the Hebrews says this: in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. The writer talks about Jesus and about how Jesus frees us and saves us. Talks about how we are the adopted brothers and sisters of Jesus. Of how Jesus became a merciful and faithful high priest in service of his heavenly Father. And then the writer to Hebrews goes on a little bit later, beyond where Pippa read to us in the next chapter, and says this: therefore, because Jesus is a pioneer of your salvation, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling to be pioneers, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts and your hearts and your lives on Jesus. In having a kind and generous heart, and in using his wealth to help set the poor people of Mansfield free from poverty, it seems to me that Samuel Brunt is an example of someone who was sharing in Jesus' heavenly calling. And although most of us probably don't have valuable lands to leave in our wills, although some of us probably do have valuable houses that we might leave in our wills, as followers of Jesus, we all share in the heavenly calling as adopted sisters and brothers of Christ to be pioneers. So what would the writer to the Hebrews have meant and understood by the word pioneer? Of course he was using a Greek word, but a pioneer is the founder or originator of something. The source or the origin of something. The basic idea and meaning of the word used here refers to someone who begins something, in order that others may enter into it. In order that others may enter into it. Jesus, as the pioneer of salvation, begins a family that others can enter into, be born into, be baptized into. Jesus, as pioneer, establishes a kingdom, a church community, that others may belong to and be part of. A movement of people, a whole movement of people, fixing their thoughts and their eyes on Jesus. And so becoming like him. and so living like him. Becoming pioneers of compassion, of love, of kindness. Becoming big-hearted, generous people. Like Samuel Brunt, who it goes on to say, his heart as big as his periwig. I haven't got a periwig, have you? Pioneers of compassion, of love, of kindness. Being big-hearted, generous people. Who, like Jesus, live kind and generous lives. Another way of thinking about a pioneer is someone who blazes a trail for others to follow. The Bible commentator William Barclay uses the analogy of a ship stuck on the rocks, where the only way to rescue it is for someone to swim ashore with a line in order that once the line is secured, the others on the ship might follow. The one who is the first to swim ashore will be the pioneer of the safety and the salvation of the others. Jesus is the pioneer of our salvation. But in being the pioneer of our salvation, he hasn't just done something that enables us to be part of something that God is doing, creating a family, a universal family. But Jesus, as our pioneer of salvation, has blazed a trail to God for us to follow. Fixing our thoughts on Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, we see how he humbled himself. We see how the holiness of Jesus is not about staying distant and away from human suffering and depravity and brokenness, but rather the holiness that Jesus shows us is a holiness that incarnates itself into the messiness and the brokenness and the chaos and the depravity of our world. We see in Jesus someone who humbles himself, someone who's willing to get his hands dirty, someone who arrives in the world vulnerable and small and helpless in need of others. In Jesus we see God becoming like us, becoming one of us. And the whole of his life story that we fix our hearts and our lives on is about vulnerability. It's about an exemplary life as a human. It's about his wise teaching. It's about self-sacrificial suffering and death. It's about triumphant resurrection. It's about an ascension to a throne in heaven. In this way, Jesus has pioneered our salvation. And Jesus has blazed a trail to God for us to follow. For those of you that are fans of alliteration, there's another word in the sentence that I read to you from the scriptures that begins with P. Can anyone remember what it is? Pioneer and... anyone remember? Perfector. Perfector. Perfect. God should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. But Jesus was already perfect, wasn't he? In what sense did he need to be made perfect through suffering? The word used here for perfect, when used in the New Testament, has a particular meaning. So, for example, it's used as of a student who is no longer at the elementary stage of learning about their subject, but is at an advanced stage. So it's the people that have studied for their masters or their PhD. or it's used of a human being who is no longer a child or an infant, but instead is fully mature and fully grown. So the basic meaning in the New Testament is that the thing or the person that is described as perfect fully carries out the purpose for which they were designed. Fully carries out. Fully is the person who God created and designed and carries out their purpose. So the verb means not so much to make perfect as to make fully adequate for the task for which the person is designed. So what the writer to the Hebrews is saying is that Jesus was made fully able for the task of being the pioneer of our salvation. That's the sense in which he was made perfect. Fully able, fully equipped for the task of being the pioneer of our salvation. He goes on to explain how in being identified with humanity, by sharing and so understanding human sufferings, he is able fully to help us. He's met us in our troubles and our sorrows. He's faced our temptations and our trials. He's experienced suffering and death. And as a result, he knows exactly what help we need. He knows exactly what help we need, and he is fully able to give it. For he has won our salvation. That's the wonderful truth, isn't it? The reason we're gathered here today. That Jesus has pioneered our salvation. And in the absolute sense, only Jesus can do that. He is our salvation. He is our Saviour. And it's through his life and death and resurrection that we are saved. But in being the pioneer of our salvation, in becoming like us, and so being made fully adequate for this task, he has blazed a trail for us to follow in. As his adopted sisters and brothers, we are not only the beneficiaries of salvation, able to enter into and be part of his family, but we also share in this heavenly calling. Called to fix our eyes and our thoughts on Jesus, so that we too may be made fully adequate for our task of being pioneers of redeemed humanity. Back to my school song, but few you'll find with a soul more kind than old Samuel Brunt's. Called to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Living lives of love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And so pioneering in our own lives healthy and wholesome relationships and communities, which our world so desperately needs to see and understand and experience. Pioneering by the way we live, the way we are, the way we follow Jesus, so that others may enter into and be part of what Christ is doing in the world. So others may join us as sisters and brothers of Christ, beneficiaries of his salvation, and co-participants working out that salvation, won for us by Jesus, the pioneer, author, and perfecter of our faith. Amen.